Welcome to the Average Joe Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Garrison. In today's episode, we'll talk about Brian Flores being hired for the Miami Dolphins. Is it a good fit or is he a fish out of water? Talking about Nick Foles. Is he about to get paid by somebody else? And is it time for him to leave Philadelphia? Talking about a hack that my wife taught me for an iPhone. Yes, my wife actually taught me something. I know, it's shocking. We're going to talk about gym etiquette, and we're also going to talk about how we really need to change up this State of the Union speech, because the way it is right now, it's boring, it's pointless, and I really wish that we'd do something different. Thanks for joining the Average Joe Podcast. Here we go. Hey guys, it's Joe with the Average Joe Podcast. Hope y'all had a wonderful Tuesday. Hope you got through it. Hump day's coming. I don't know about y'all. It just seems like this week is dragging. I don't know why. It's probably just me, one of those days, but it's just, I don't know. It just seems like it's a day that is dragging. But anyway, welcome to the Average Joe Podcast, where nothing drags. Everything flies through, where it's unicorns and just, you know, popcorn and gumdrops. All the good stuff here at the Average Joe Podcast. Thanks for checking us out. And like I say, please tell your friends, subscribe, share the episodes, and hey, just pass it on, because it's we really appreciate the support here. When I say we, I mean, you know, me. So I really appreciate if you would pass it on to your friends. So this first segment, let's get started with the NFL. Even though the Super Bowl's over, there were a couple of storylines that came out today that I was going to comment on. Well, let's just start with, I think, the first one. The first one is the Miami Dolphins hiring, I think it's Brian Flores. I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. I want to say Flores, but it might be Flores. It might be Lee. I have no idea. But anyway, he was introduced today as the head coach of the Miami Dolphins. So first off, congrats to him. It's always a big deal when a guy, you know, I'm sure has been in the trenches, who's been sort of behind the scenes, sort of in the peripheral, now gets to step out of the master shadow in Bill Belichick and gets to see, can he stand on his own? And so, you know, a little bit about that. Let's be honest. Number one, the Dolphins have a lot of issues. You got a quarterback in Ryan Tannehill that is probably on his way out. You've got some decent weapons on the offensive side as far as wide receiver, but there's a lot of question marks there. And I think there's a lot of question marks with, to be frank, you know, the organization as a whole. They've shifted some of the front office people around. So the Dolphins are kind of this team in turmoil. And so they bring in this guy, first time head coach. He's been the defensive assistant. I think recently he's been the linebackers coach for the New England Patriots. And let's be honest, Bill Belichick calls that defense. I mean, Bill Belichick is the de facto defensive coordinator. So let's get that down. But, yeah, I wish him well. But the way things are shaping up in this day and age, New England assistants, they do well in New England. But when they get out, they can't replicate it. And that's probably unfair, because let's be honest, you're talking about the Patriots are a well-built organization. And that's from the ground up. That's from, or really, I should say, top down. You have ownership that's tremendous, that's invested in winning, but you really have Bill Belichick and, you know, some of his people running the front office. In Miami, it's totally different. You have a GM, you have, you know, an owner, he has a GM, and then the GM now has hired this coach. So he's not going to have the same type of control, and he probably doesn't want it, But again, it's kind of hard to replicate New England when you're not going to do the very same things that New England does. So, with all the issues, I'm going to say it's not looking good. I predict for this poor fella, he's going to end up just like, other assistants who try to get head coaching gigs, Romeo Crennel, maybe, Eric Mangini was a little bit, he was okay, but still nothing to brag or go home about. Josh McDaniels, I think Matt Patricia is going to get fired in another year or two in Detroit. The only coach who has you could point to is Bill O'Brien. It's the only one. And, obviously no championships, but Bill O'Brien runs a pretty good ship over there in Houston. So I'll give you that. Maybe Flores is going to be the next Bill O'Brien. Maybe he is. I don't know. I just, I don't see it. I wish him well for my Dolphin brothers in Florida. I hope, like I say, I hope it works for you, but unfortunately, my prediction is given about 2 to 3 years, he'll be fired and the Dolphins owner will be looking for another head coach. And like I say, Flores and Patricia and some of these guys are provided Bill Belichick is still there, will probably find themselves back on the New England sideline. The other item of the day, and I saw this just literally, I was leaving the gym. And this came through the wire is, Ian Rappaport is reporting that Nick Foles is basically, there was a $20 million option. The Eagles picked it up, and basically, Foles is buying out of that. He's paying back $2 million to the Philadelphia Eagles to basically be a free agent, so he can sort of hit the market. Now, of course, the other part of this is the Philadelphia Eagles could put the franchise tag on him, probably will, because they'd like to get something for him. I think this is just, to me, the interesting thing about this is this is, of course, the media is going to go crazy. It's going to, we had a story a couple of weeks ago where it was about Carson Wentz, how the players don't like Carson Wentz, he's selfish. They'd rather have Nick Foles. Well, then a bunch of guys came out and debunked that. So let's just look at what we know. What we know is that Eagles fans for the past 2 to 3 years, their hopes and dreams are wrapped up not in Carson Wentz, but in Nick Foles. Nick Foles has played well. Nick Foles has a great attitude. Now, Carson Wentz, pure athlete, is much better. But Nick Foles just has a knack for making plays, and he has a knack for actually getting involved. And being at the right place at the right time. So I get the Eagles trying to keep him. And from Nick Foles' perspective, look, I get it. You've got a family. You've been in the league for a while. You're not getting any younger. And you know what? Maybe you can in this day and age. I mean, let's be honest, in the quarterback market out there, it's not great for veteran quarterbacks right now. And let's not even go down the Colin Kaepernick route. Let's not go down that rabbit hole. But let's be honest, outside of Joe Flacco, there's and maybe Teddy Bridgewater, but even, that's a really long shot. You're really the best healthy QB to go with. So teams like Miami, those types of teams that need a veteran to come in and try to win right now. I mean, hey. I don't blame Nick Foles for trying to get paid. I don't blame the Eagles for trying to maximize their benefits for keeping him. But at some point, it sounds like the marriage is over in Philadelphia. Nick wants to leave, probably get a good max deal. And let's be honest, at his age, hey, why not? Why not go for the money? I mean, football's a tough game. The average career is what, 2 to 3 years? So, I mean, you've played in this game, you've played under multiple coaches, you had one stint there in LA that didn't go very well, and in the end, it comes down to, hey, if you can get paid, get paid. I mean, look at Kirk Cousins. I mean, Kirk Cousins goes to Minnesota, has never won a championship. As far as I know, I don't think he's won a playoff game, but maybe I'm wrong. And he gets bukus of money thrown at him by Minnesota. So, hey, I mean, Mike Glennon, who, hey, Tampa Bay here, I know what I'm talking about, is a below-average QB, and he makes $16 million with the Bears, at least for 1 year. So, look, hey, if Nick Foles can get paid, get paid. But I don't know, the Eagles are probably hoping and praying that Carson Wentz truly is the quarterback that they think he is and that they hope he is and that he can, you know, he can continue this role. But very, very interesting what's going on. And that's pretty much it for the NFL segment. So stay tuned, folks. We'll come back in just a few seconds. Hey, guys, we're back. I want to share something. Like I say, this is the Average Joe podcast. It's just me sharing some thoughts. I have a little tip that I don't think it's so little because, I mean, to me, it's kind of revolutionized. You know, it's the time we live in. We do a lot of work. I say we, you know, you and I, we do a lot of work on our phones. Working on your phone is almost, I mean, you have to do it. Answer emails, respond to texts, and in some cases have long, long texts with your wife, family, friends, you know, what have you. Well, I know y'all are perfect. You don't have any issues with typing, but I find that if I'm in a hurry, and I don't care how good a typist you are, how good you are with keyboards, typing on that little keyboard, even on an iPhone 8, which is what I have, typing on something like that can get frustrating because you'll run words together, miss punctuation, totally botch the spelling of a word, you know, whatever it may be. And I don't know if you've ever done this. You look at it, you're proofreading it, hopefully you're proofreading it, and you see and you go, oh man, okay, I got to fix this word. And all I want is the middle of the word. So I start, you know, sort of lightly touching it with my finger. I'm trying to be all finesse, all cool. And then eventually there's sort of a hard tapping on the screen, eventually followed by a furiously rapping of my finger against the screen with unintelligible grumblings and groanings. And eventually, in some cases, I just send it as is until, you know, hey, figure it out. Not in professional settings, but you know, I might not. If I send something to my brother, I may not really care if the spelling's 100% right. But anyway, it's frustrating. In some cases, I've had to backspace. Again, I have an Apple, so some of you, you know, the two listeners that actually listen to the podcast, I'm kidding. Hopefully, it's more than that. But you know, y'all might have Samsung devices, but you know, maybe there's something there that I'm not even going to maybe go into that, the rivalry there. But anyway, the main thing is if you're an Apple user, I, in some cases, would have to backspace the whole way. So let's say I've got a paragraph and I have to go all the way through. In some cases, I couldn't get to it. So it was just easier for me to say, you know, I'll just backspace it or I'll copy it and do whatever. Well, my wife said something brilliant the other day. And I want to preface, I don't say that because it's a shock. And I don't say that because it never happens. She says brilliant things all the time. It's just this was one of those rare moments where maybe I actually heard what she said or listened attentively. She says, you know, have you ever had a problem with you type something and it's wrong and you got to fix it, especially on an Apple device? And I was like, yes. I'm like, it is so frustrating. She says, well, here, let me show you this. Now, how she figured this out, I don't know. I don't know if she saw it on YouTube. Who knows? Maybe she actually read one of the iOS release notes or something like that. I know there's a features tab or tools on your Apple device that kind of tell you some of the things that go on. But anyway, I don't know, most average or regular people, for my taste, it's just, hey, I just want to use the phone. But anyway, if you hold down the space key, so let's say you're typing and you realize, oh my goodness, halfway up, I want to fix this. And, you know, I've got my little, you've got your little chubby fingers and you're tapping at the screen furiously. Man, why won't it, you know, why won't it go where I want it to go? You can actually hold the space bar down. So on your, imagine you've got the keyboard, it's on your phone screen, just hold the space bar down. And eventually what's funny is you'll notice all of a sudden the letters go away from the buttons on the keyboard, at least visually. And it's like, whoa, what's going on? And then if you start moving your thumb, again, remember you've held down the space key. So you click on that, hold it down, then start moving your thumb once the keys disappear. it actually moves the cursor. I mean, it's almost like using a mouse. It is one of the nicest tips my wife has ever given me. I mean, truthfully, I mean, it was really, really cool. So, for those of you out there that have an Apple device, I would really encourage you, again, if you hold down the space key, and you'll notice then the keyboard keys are actually going to go blank, then you can just start moving your finger around, keeping in mind, keep pressure on that key. You can actually remove the cursor, in and around. And so I think that's a really cool thing. I'm just passing it on just because it helped me. Kind of, I'm not going to say it changed my life, but it really helped when it comes to writing emails, and hopefully it does the same to you. Stick with us. We've got so much more to come. Stay with us. Okay, back again. State of the Union night. I know some of y'all are probably watching. I'm not watching. I have to be honest with you. I was at the gym. The State of the Union was on, and I just didn't. I mean, I found it. I mean, I found it. It was so boring. Just watching it, just staring at it. I was like, I'm gonna fall asleep right here, and I'm gonna drop this dumbbell, and I'm gonna die. So, and that's what the last image is gonna be of Nancy Pelosi's face. It was like, woof. It's rough. But I have to vent just a moment, and I don't want to make this show all about politics. I said that last night. I really want the show. It needs to be a take. My take on life. And politics and news and current events is part of that. I wish the president would do one of two things. Either, if it's going to be this formal and this stiff, just have the State of the Union address. I mean, if they put it on a teleprompter, it's on a piece of paper somewhere. Just deliver it to both houses. And I don't even give a speech. Just say, here you go. You can read it yourself. Here it is. I have fulfilled my obligation. Now I'm going to get back to doing whatever it is I was doing before. Instead of giving this long, almost, I mean, good grief, going on forever, several hour long speech that nobody remembers. And ultimately, the people on both sides are going to capitalize on the points they want to, whether it's good, bad, whatever, and then they'll converge. So, no, I'm not going to watch the State of the Union. I would encourage anybody, it's probably over by now. I hope to heaven it's over by now. Otherwise, it's like, good grief. I mean, it's just, again, just if you're going to keep it this boring, just have simply just say, okay, here is the text of the speech. You can read it. That's what used to happen. I don't know for those of you out there who don't know. The State of the Union used to be done that way. The president's staff would deliver it to Congress, and somebody, maybe it was the clerk, or maybe they would take shifts, I don't know, they would actually read the State of the Union address to Congress, and the president wasn't there. So I don't know. I don't see the problem with that, other than you'd have to take away the theater of it, take away the drama of it, and of course, that's where some of these folks thrive, and that's okay. But no, I would not, I just decide not, I just can't watch the State of the Union speech as is. A bunch of people standing up clapping, and they clap way too much. Too many applause lines in the speech. I mean, maybe have two or three, like when he recognizes a first responder, or somebody, a fireman who saved somebody out of a tree, or a girl who found the next element. I mean, I don't know. I mean, all these things they recognize people for. Just like I say, give them a hand, let the president give a speech, and then at the very end, give him one big. I mean, I get it. Politicians have applause lines, but it just, I don't know, it just bothers me. The other thing, now, instead of a State of the Union speech, and this is something I wish the president would do more often, and I know some of y'all are going to roll your eyes, but when I was a kid and I was living at home, we would actually, there was a show called Prime Minister's Questions. So in Britain, the Prime Minister actually goes to the House of Commons. So let's equate that to the House of Representatives over here. And he actually gives a statement and then basically gets peppered in public with pretty hard questions. Sometimes it's a labor leader or a party over there trying to embarrass, the ruling party. So I mean, there's a lot of scheming that goes on. But in the end, There's a real debate. Both sides have an opportunity not to. I'm just going to sit here and go, and then I'm going to stand up and clap like a blithering idiot. It's actually, hey, I'm going to tell you what I think, what half the country thinks, and then we're going to have a sound debate, and we're not going to do this stiff, stuck in the, 17th century thing. It's hey, let's have a real debate. And that's something I've thought a lot about. If, I'm not saying President Trump is going to do this or that he should, but I just find it interesting. Me personally, I remember as a kid when we watched Prime Minister's Questions and we watched all that happen, I felt to myself, okay, here is the Prime Minister of England standing before basically little lowly Congress people, and they are just absolutely, they have everything, they all the tools, whether it's through written or through putting their answers in. In the end, it comes down to they have an opportunity to say, I'm not going to stand here and clap. I'm going to tell you what I think, and if we disagree, we disagree, and that's fine. But there's no charade. It's no, or as the Brits would say, a charade. It's not. There's no ambiguity. It's, hey, we're on this side, you're on that side, we have our point of view, what do you think? Instead of having this State of the Union speech where it's boring, it's long, and really there's this fake put on of, oh, we're all together, when they're not all together. Nancy Pelosi can't stand President Trump. President Trump can't stand her, and vice versa. I mean, so it just goes across the board. In the end, like I said, I just, I may start watching it if they did that, because I think that would be neat, and especially with President Trump in there, it would be, I think, awesome television. But anyway, so again, if you're watching the State of the Union, good for you. I don't think we're going to learn anything new tonight, other than there's probably a summit with North Korea coming, and maybe there's some other things on the international front. But look, in the end, the State of the Union speech, I don't believe, is going to sway anybody. For people who hated Trump, they're going to hate him all the more. For the people that love him, they're going to love him all the more. And that's just, it's the brilliant, it's part of the job. It's part of the, it is what it is. So that's my two cents. Like I say, State of the Union is boring. I wish they would change something up about it, make it more interesting. But in the end, if they're going to stick with it, then I would just submit a written record and say, here, read it and weep. All right, we'll be back in just a second with our final segment. Stay tuned, don't go away. Okay, I have to go off about something, and I promise I'm not going to make this podcast about people wronging, me, and like I'm going to rant on people, but I have to rant on something. It's gym etiquette. Now, I understand there's a lot of folks who go to the gym. Sometimes they live in there. Sometimes they spend, multiple times a day. I'm not one of those people. I go to the gym at night, and it's a fairly recent occurrence. I'm trying for the past maybe 2, 3 weeks. I've been trying to go to the gym fairly regularly, and for the most part, everybody I encounter is nice. Because it's at nighttime, it's not as crowded, and it's nice because some of the people in there, you can just tell everybody wants to be left alone, do their own thing. But there's one thing, and it is a huge pet peeve of mine, is excessive yelling or grunting or some it's just, it is ungodly. So let me set the stage for you. So I'm in the gym. I'm at a machine or something. So maybe 10 feet, maybe 20 feet away, there is a guy, and he's got his dumbbells in his hands, and he's sitting on the bench, and he's contemplating life, staring into the gym mirror, just trying to get himself psyched up, worked up. So I noticed that much. I think I'm doing a set of some kind of exercise. And then he begins to lift. And the most guttural, loud, obnoxious yelling begins to come out of this person. I mean, just, I mean, just, and he's lifting these dumbbells, and these are probably 60, 70 pound dumbbells. I mean, they're not light, light, I don't know, maybe I'm revealing my strength numbers here, but I mean, look, it's a 60-pound dumbbell. I mean, you get down there, you're getting into 5, 6 reps, it's getting kind of hard. And one of the things, I'm just being honest, when I am really lifting what I would consider heavyweight, I usually just, I blow outward. So it's almost like, I'm trying to channel, hey, I'm trying to exhale. It just, I don't know, it helps me, get the push through, push through it. And this poor fella, he, I guess, felt that screaming, in a guttural sort of, very almost maniacal way somehow helped him, get the weight up in the air and then back down again. This is very annoying. I mean, I've got headphones in, so I'm listening to music. I'm listening to another podcast. Yeah, that's okay. I mean, I understand some people get into it, but really, I think it's much simpler than that. I think it's some people watch too much YouTube. Everybody thinks they're Ronnie Coleman or Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I think it's sometimes it's just it. Let's be honest. You've got some guys, the testosterone's pumping, the pre-workout was really good, and there's a good-looking woman over there. So yelling out in this fierce, angry way is going to make me seem more manly. It's going to just make me, me Tarzan, you Jane kind of thing. It's ridiculous. So I'm going to say it again. When you're lifting weights, if you have to scream like you're some sort, like you're a yak giving birth to twin calves and breech, the weight's probably too much. Or you may need to find some other way of motivating yourself to push the weight up. The other thing, so that's another, if you yell in the gym, I just don't see the point. The other thing that bothers me, and I know I sound like a whiny little girl when I say this, but I'm gonna say it anyway, is the idea of putting the weights back where they go. It amazes me how even people who work at the gym, you're using a machine, you're using a set of weights, you're using a cable machine, whatever it is, and you've got the weight, let's say you've put the weights on, let's say it's a machine, you've put 90 pounds on, 45 on each side, and you do it. And then you just walk off and you just leave the weight sitting there. And there's signs all over the gym saying, please put weights back. Please put weights back. It's like, I don't know. It's a pet peeve of mine. Put your weights back. It's view it as a workout. Continue the workout. It's really not that hard. And the other thing is awareness. I wear headphones, but I swear there are times where, and this has happened, I'll grant you, it's not like it's never happened, but usually I've got the volume turned down in such a way I can hear the music, I can hear the podcast, but I can clearly hear if somebody is coming up on me or whatever. There's no awareness through some of these people. And some of them have headphones, some of them don't. But like if I'm sitting there right in front of you and you're making eye contact with me and I'm in the middle of doing a set, I know you got your headphones in, but don't just come over while I step away to finish a superset of something else. Start doing it and then act like you don't know I'm there. Or worse, you're walking around and maybe I'm in the middle of a set, or who knows, maybe I'm just standing there and I mean you're literally like an inch away from me, but and you've got these earphones blazing. Some cases it may be these over the headphones. I don't wear those. Those are fine. Hey, if you got them, that's great. I have just a pair of Beats by Dre earbuds, and they work great, by the way. I'm using them now. So there's a product plug there. But yeah, it just, like I say, I think it's a microcosm of how people are in life. I think when you go to the gym with somebody, if they're inconsiderate and just lack of awareness and just overall loud and obnoxious, that's probably how they are in real life. So again, hate to be a bore, hate to whine and complain. Maybe y'all don't have the struggle with that. Maybe y'all go to a gym where people are just perfect. But I'm, and like I said, most people, 90% of the time, it's fine. But man, I just can't stand it. I think a gym ought to be like a church. Keep it clean and keep it quiet. All right, folks, we'll be back to wrap it up in just a sec. Hang on. Okay, folks, so thanks for joining us. So let's just recap. I think the Dolphins have hired somebody from the Patriots that they think is going to replicate it, and I don't think it's going to work, especially down there in Miami. I think you'll find in another 2 to 3 years, the Dolphins will probably fire this coach, and he'll probably be back in the Patriots locker room in some way or fashion. I also think that Nick Foles is on his way out, and I don't blame him. You know what, Philly's a tough place to play. You've got a Super Bowl ring. Go somewhere, get your money, and then retire and ride off into the sunset. Yeah, you know, Nick Foles, if anybody's earned it, it's Nick Foles. And then don't forget my wife teaching me a hack, and hopefully can teach you something too for your iPhone. It's really annoying to try to fix things, especially when you type up long emails or texts. And I didn't know this, if you hold the space key down, the keys, the lettering on the keyboard will actually disappear. And you can then move your thumb around or your whichever finger you've got on the space bar. And it will actually take the cursor and move it wherever your finger is. And then you can move it exactly where you need to change it, and you can fix it. That is really cool. So again, hold the space key down, or and move it around until you find the spot that needs to be fixed, let go, and fix it. It's really cool. And again, you have to have an Apple phone or an iPhone to do this, but you really should have one because they're the best. The other thing is State of the Union speech. I think it's boring. I don't think it tells us anything that's earth-shattering. I really wish there were two modifications. If you're not going to make it more lively and argumentative, which I like, the president needs to just submit a written report to Congress. If they like to read it, fine. But otherwise, let the president stay at home and watch a football game or a basketball game or something, and let the rest of us get on with our lives without having to dissect the speech and have to watch a bunch of people stand up and clap 500 times. Or what we should do is what they do over in Britain in the House of Commons, where they have prime minister's questions, where the president actually has to take questions from members of Congress and give answers. And it can get pretty loud and get pretty raucous. I think that would be fun. It's actually a situation where our brothers over in England actually got something right. So if they did that, I'd be all for it. Gym etiquette. If you're going to a gym, make sure, please don't scream and yell. There's no need for that. If you have to do that, either you're lifting too heavy or you need to change your pre-workout because it's not getting you pumped up enough. Or, actually, maybe you're drinking too much pre-workout formula and you need to boil it down or dial it down a little bit. The other thing is, be aware, if you've got headphones in, be sure to be aware of your surroundings. Don't stumble over other people, and don't use your headphones as an excuse to take somebody else's station and then act like you're totally zoned in and you don't see the person standing there staring at you angrily. So, folks, that's it for the Average Joe podcast. I'm tired. I'm just sore, and I'm ready to go to bed. So have a good night. Thanks for joining us. Please subscribe to our podcast. Share it with your friends. Share it on your social media pages. Share it everywhere you can, because we really appreciate you listening to us and your support. Thanks. Have a good night.